Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Catherine Morehouse. The U.S. solar industry is at war with itself, and it's causing a political headache for President Joe Biden. Just last week, several American solar manufacturers called for additional trade restrictions on cheap Chinese-linked imports of solar panel components. But not every renewable energy developer is in agreement with that petition. That clash is now in the hands of the Biden administration. And what it highlights is the president's tricky balancing act as he races toward the 2024 election. On one hand, Biden wants to support the domestic solar industry and also get the upper hand in the trade war with China. But he also needs more solar power and needs it fast in order to meet his climate goals. So today, I spoke with Politico's Kelsey Tamburino about the solar civil war that's brewing in the U.S. and how it threatens the president's climate agenda. It's Monday, April 29th.
The central debate here comes down to really President Joe Biden wanting to act quickly on climate change, but at the same time bolstering domestic manufacturing and countering China, which is a particularly important part of this in an election year where China has really become a flashpoint. It really comes down to installers of solar panels and developers in the solar industry that have concerns about restrictions on imports and the uncertainty of that would mean for raising prices and slowing growth. On the other side, there's this concern from the growing U.S. solar manufacturing industry, which really finds itself at an inflection point because of lucrative incentives under the Inflation Reduction Act, right? And we're seeing a wave of solar factory announcements since that law, but because of the pricing environment spurred by China and its overcapacity that currently exists, it's complicating the math of a lot of those projects. So this dynamic is absolutely not new, I would say, or unique even to solar. We're seeing similar debates play out on electric vehicles, for example. But I think we're finding ourselves in a slightly different environment since the last time this was really a central debate for the administration a couple years ago. And that, I think, is really because one of these manufacturing announcements, as I noted, that have become really a central part of President Joe Biden's reelection pitch. And so there's growing pressure from folks on both sides of the aisle to really push back on China as well. And I think all of that coming together is really why this debate is so essential to the Biden administration's climate goals, but also its broader manufacturing and job creation goals.
Okay. And so very recently, just last week, we talked about this big solar manufacturer petition surrounding some of these issues you just laid out. Could you talk a bit about how that petition fits into this wider debate?
Yeah, so the petition is one part, I think, of a broader an influx of requests we're seeing from U.S. solar manufacturers. The administration in recent weeks has acknowledged the need to take action on Chinese overcapacity. So we've seen the White House, for example, announce a task force on trade and climate. For the domestic solar manufacturers who might have previously been left frustrated by the White House's response over solar tariffs in the past, they've been encouraged. They see this as kind of the most vocal support they've seen in a minute. That's really undergirded the need to protect these U.S. manufacturing investments. This petition is one part of a broader suite of things that they're asking for. There's calls for enforcement of trade laws, including from Qcells, which is expanding its solar footprint in Georgia. They're asking the government to rescind an exemption for double-sided solar panels under this existing tariff regime that has basically meant that less than 2% of imports, they say, are subject to duties right now. There's also a wider review of Trump-era tariffs on China that the administration is currently conducting that could ultimately result in higher tariffs on electric vehicles, other elements of the clean energy supply chain, like for solar equipment. This petition is separate but related to another petition on the imports from Southeast Asia that occurred 2 years ago, and the administration's response to that included a two-year tariff moratorium that ends in June. And we're really seeing a lot of lingering questions about what enforcement of that is going to look like once that moratorium lifts, because we're seeing massive stockpiling of panels way exceeding what could feasibly be used ahead of that lifting. And I think the other big area to watch is tax credit policy with the Inflation Reduction Act. there is incentives in there for using domestic content and U.S. manufactured products. How the administration writes that guidance and whether it incentivizes further back in the supply chain is really an open question. So all of that is part of really a collective decision making that's facing the administration right now. And there are certainly counter concerns within the industry of all of that. But there's a bunch of looming decisions before the administration. And I think it's all going to come to a head in the next few weeks and months.
So, Kelsey, how does this so-called solar civil war actually end, according to what you're hearing from your sources? Obviously, this has been an issue for years now that you've been tracking, and this petition and the stage of your reporting is kind of just the latest in a much longer saga, as you've laid out. How do things end here?
It's tough to say how it would end, right? Like, we're in an election year where I think international trade policy is definitely something that's going to be part of it. And, you know, as I noted, Trump tariffs were very much an element of this that we could see change the dynamics if former President Trump is reelected. You know, the suite of actions that I laid out on tax and trade policy decisions that are looming is where we're going to see action in the weeks and months ahead. But it's certainly not a problem, as I think you've heard administration officials acknowledge, that this is going to happen overnight and be easily solved. It's part of a suite of actions. And, you know, the administration has said that everything is on the table, even on the Hill, right? Like, this issue of China's role in the supply chain for clean energy technologies has been something that we've heard for quite a while. And I think one area that is notable and something that listeners should probably watch for going forward is like where we see movement on legislation there. We've already seen bipartisan bills being discussed of curtailing China's ability to access tax credits under the IRA. And I think we could see more momentum there, particularly in the lead up of the election, but also in a new Congress, because that definitely is an area where there's continued bipartisan support to take action.
Also, the United Nations is drawing up new guidelines to help governments and companies mine critical minerals in an environmentally and economically friendly way. That's what we learned on Friday after the UN announced that it launched a new panel aimed to deliver a list of best practices by September. The principles would inform governments, industry, and civil society organizations on how to best promote cooperation for accessing minerals, which could include cobalt, graphite, copper, lithium, and nickel, all needed to build the clean energy economy. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Catherine Morehouse, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.